last time I came here, or the first time in 2018, I hated Brazilian food. Hated it. And I remember when I arrived in São Paulo Airport, I started speaking Spanish to them and they were like, what are you talking about, dude? For me, like, I'm big on personal safety and I look like a gringo and I feel like I would be targeted.
Hello, everyone. My name is Adu, and this is Expats Exposed, honest conversations with expats around the globe. This podcast is brought to you by ReadyGo Expat. For videos about life in different countries, interviews with expats, and travel guides, go to youtube.com/ReadyGoExpat. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is episode 20 of the podcast, and it's the season finale. I'm here with Oli Levito, who was the first one to ever come to this podcast. On his episode, he talked about how it was to move to Bolivia and live in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. If you haven't heard it, please check it out. It was episode one, so I decided to invite him back for the last episode of this season. This is episode 20, and now he's going to talk about Brazil, first impressions, moving there, living in Belo Horizonte, and then moving to Rio, where he is now. So, hello, Oli. How are you doing?
How's it going? I'm so happy to be back here. Hello to everybody listening.
Yeah, it's an honor. You're like the first one ever.
I sound like a celebrity with like the way I just said hello to everybody. But that's kind of a big deal.
You are a big deal. You are. If you don't know Oli, like if you're just listening to this on the podcast, go to his YouTube channel. I'm going to leave it in the show notes because he is a big star in Brazil right now. Like,
it's such a lie.
So Oli is in Rio, and I'm also in Brazil, but just so you guys have an idea, it's like around 2 hours and a half by plane from Recife to Rio. So it's a big country. We haven't met personally, face to face. So Oli, when you were in Australia, like what was appealing about Brazil? Why did you decide to come here first as a tourist and then eventually move here? What was your impression about Brazil before coming here?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So just for a bit of context, I came here in January 2018 and again in December 2019, January 2020. And I recently moved here about 4 months ago. And my story goes back to 2015 when I was out in a nightclub and I met a few Brazilians dancing. And actually, I live with one of those girls now here in Rio de Janeiro. And she introduced me to a friend who I became very close with. We kind of started a little bit of a relationship. And because they were exchange students, they came back to Brazil. And because I like fell in love with the culture, the people, I was curious about the language. This kind of like started me off with my, you know, Brazilian adventure.
That's really cool. That was in what city in Australia?
That was in Canberra. So I studied in Canberra and they came over on the Science Without Borders, the program
That used to be an amazing program, actually. Like we had students.
Yeah, it was a good program, but it was easily exploited.
That's true. I've heard bad stories about it in Canada, but I think as a whole, like it was a very interesting program. And yeah. And then you came here to Brazil. And then can you tell me, like, what were your first impressions when you got here and actually started living here? And comparing to the image you had before, like, how was it similar and how was it different?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when I moved here, I had already lived in South America for 2 years. So I was in, if you'd listened to the last podcast, I was living in Bolivia for about 2 years. And because I had already visited Brazil 2 times before, like you hear in the news back in Australia that, oh, Brazil, it's this dangerous place, you know, murders every day, COVID, all this sort of stuff. But it's obviously a little bit different living here. So I moved to Belo Horizonte and like, I was a bit scared to start off with because I was living in like a really quiet neighborhood. It was just like, it was Sion, which is like one of the nicest places to live in Belo Horizonte. But to go to the supermarket, I had to like walk over a bridge that went past a favela. So that was a little bit scary at times. But in saying that, like, nothing's ever happened to me. And for me, Belo Horizonte was just a nice city to live in, to work in. But it didn't offer much as, like, obviously because of lockdown, but it didn't offer much for me as a gringo, like seeking the kind of lifestyle that I wanted in Brazil. I really wanted to be near the beach and have access to the coast. And Belo Horizonte just didn't offer that for me.
I see. And what about, because you mentioned, I can picture exactly what you're saying, like a quiet neighborhood and it's close to a favela. Like, some people might think that only Rio has favelas or something, but it's like all over the country. I mean, unfortunately, and the cities were kind of built in a, not a very nice way. So then it's all mixed up. And yes, there are areas like that, you know, dodgy areas. But what was challenging for you at the beginning? Like, I know you could speak Spanish. So maybe you could talk about the language, but also what other challenges did you have as a foreigner in Brazil?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Because I thought, like, I actually studied for 1.5 years at university, Spanish and Portuguese at the same time. And then obviously living in Bolivia, speaking Spanish for 2 years, I arrived in Brazil thinking like, oh yeah, my Portuguese will just come back to me. And I remember when I arrived in São Paulo airport, I started speaking Spanish to them and they were like, what are you talking about, dude? So that was difficult. And then I chose to live in República. And for people who don't know what República is, it's just like a massive share house. And this share house had 10 people in there, which I didn't know when I first moved in. I thought it was like 5 or 6. Anyway, it ended up being 10 people with 3 dogs and a cat. And it was okay for a little while. But the reason I chose to live there is because I wanted to surround myself with Portuguese speakers. But like, I quickly realized that my Portuguese was terrible. I couldn't really like connect with them on a deeper level. And it kind of, and because I was working in English, teaching in English, it gave me some opportunities to speak to them and get to know them. But I've definitely found the language barrier, the culture as well. Like I had never lived in a big house with people not from, you know, Australia or not from England or the States before. So it is different. It's not a negative way. It's not a negative thing, but it is different living with people from a different country than you.
Yeah. And I, because when we hear about República, like, of course we have Repúblicas here, but in these Repúblicas are usually like university students who don't live in the city and then they come here to for university and they live in Repúblicas because obviously like it's cheaper, it's safer to be like surrounded by like other people and stuff when you're 18, 19 years old. But it's interesting. But when you were there, you mentioned Spanish, how it was difficult at the airport and stuff. But apart from that, like, can you communicate? Like, I mean, I know you're not going to like restaurants and eating out because of lockdown, but how has it been like to communicate? Like, I know we don't speak Spanish, of course, but has it helped you a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I use dating apps and I use Instagram to practice writing and reading. And then I have a lot of Instagram followers to practice listening. So I practice a lot of, like, I don't know, I'm getting technically the receptive skills, like listening and reading and that. But like, I don't have many opportunities to practice speaking because the two people I live with are fluent in English. And it's just more comfortable for me. I guess I'm taking the easier way out. And I have class 2 times a week in Portuguese. But you'll be happy to know that I went on a date last Sunday, all in Portuguese. And, you know, you can have awkward moments, but it's a challenge. And I kind of like the challenge that, like, you know, you throw yourself in the deep end and just see what happens, right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's cool. That's I love it that you're not, like, you're brave enough to, like, do things like that. Like, I commented on your YouTube channel that you drove from Belo Horizonte to Rio. That was 7 hours, right? And yeah, that, for me, that is like crazy. Like, I mean, because first of all, in Australia, you drive on the other side. And second of all, like, it was only 3 months in Brazil and you rented a car. and just put everything there and drove like on the Brazilian highways. Like, I think, guys, that I'm going to put a link to that video here because his experience on the highways is like I am even scared again because I spent 5 years away. Like, yeah. I haven't driven a car in 6 years because, you know, in China, I didn't drive. So just thinking about that now, I was like, that was brave. Like, how was that? Like, was that okay in the end?
I mean, when I first got the car, I was like, holy hell, this car is so big. Cause I got a big car cause I had like a lot of things. And yeah, when I first got in the car and drove away, I was like, what the hell am I doing? And then like in the morning I woke up, I had to teach, and then it was like 10:30. So I took off, like I left the house and I followed the police like for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes doing the speed limit. And I was just shocked to notice how many people were like just speeding past us at like ridiculous speeds. And like they'll be going 130 and then all of a sudden they'll slam on the brakes because there's a speed camera there.
Yeah.
So it was a good experience. And I think like the drive from Berga down, like when you reach kind of like the top of Rio and you come down through the mountains, it's an absolutely gorgeous drive. Beautiful. And then when you get into Rio, you're just like, oh my God, there are so many roads, so many different lanes and people crisscrossing and coming in and out. So yeah, you need to be brave to drive in Rio, I think.
Yes, definitely. Like traffic is crazy. Of course, it's the second largest city. So like, yeah, traffic is crazy and everything. And it's not only the, as you said, like, it's not only the, like the rules, the laws and stuff. It's like the drivers, like that's like you need to get used to it. Like, I think that was how I started when I was 18, I started driving and everything. So just to finish about the first part about Brazil, I'd like you to tell me, what are two things that you love and two things that you hate or dislike about living in Brazil?
Good question. That's a really good question. So I guess like, let's start off with like the two things that I love. So I like the coast. I think like the coast, the beaches and the, like the natural beauty of like nature. There's lots of the Costa Verde, like kind of like near Rio down towards Paraty, is absolutely gorgeous. So I like the fact that there's lots of, you know, different, I was gonna say natural resources, natural like parks and stuff like that. So you've got the beach to one side, and then if you drive a little bit inland, you've got like a waterfall or I forgot the name, national park.
Yeah.
The second thing that I like, and I'm surprised with this because the last time I came here, or the first time in 2018, I hated Brazilian food, hated it. And obviously there's, you know, some things that I probably would choose not to eat because I think it's really heavy. So I don't like the fried food like coxinha or anything like that, like that's really fatty. But I do like feijão tropeiro. Do you know what that is?
Yes, of course. It's
obviously.
Yeah.
It's from Minas Gerais and I fell in love with it when I went to Ouro Preto. And like every time I would order Uber Eats, I feel like Brazilian, I always get that. So I love the food. Açaí here is also very nice. So the food and like nature are the two things that I really like. And obviously like when it comes to things that you hate, that I find uncomfortable. Obviously like you need to be like aware of your personal safety. I was talking to one of my friends actually from Rio and we were discussing about like whether if Rio was as safe as, you know, a European city, you know, relative to a European city, it would be the best city in the world. And I couldn't agree more. Like it is the most beautiful city that I've ever seen, like from a view. And if like safety went along with that, then it would be the best city in the world. But unfortunately, safety is an issue. And the other thing that I don't really like is, I don't know, you know, maybe just like the fact that you can't put your toilet paper down the toilet or the fact that you can't really drink the tap water, like things that I take for granted being from Australia. Yes. And that sounds so stupid. But
yeah, like I'm going to just, yeah, about the water, Yes, like people take it for granted. Like every time I go to like to England and I'm just drinking tap water, I'm like, ah, this is amazing. Like, especially when you wake up, you know, massive hangover, like you want to drink water. You don't want to be like you did, right? Like in the beginning of the interview, get your plastic bottle of water in because you need. Yeah, that's one for, we all need that. But then about the toilet paper, like I just put it in the toilet. Like, I don't care. Like, honestly.
Do I? Don't tell anyone I do too.
I won't.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something that I hated, but I don't know. Going back to something that I love, actually, I love the diversity of fruit that you have here. Like, you just have ridiculous amounts of fruit. Yeah. Like, you have 12 different types of mango, and we only really have one or two. So, like, the fruit that you can buy here in South America, in Brazil, is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'd have to tell you, like, if you came to the Northeast, I mean, I know you've been to Pará, right, in Maranhão, but if you came, like, to the Northeast on the coast, on the Northeast of the Northeast, like where I am now, like, and these, like, the cuisine is different. I'm just saying this because our cuisine is very different from Pará and Maranhão, like, in this region. So, and the fruits, like the people who come from São Paulo and Rio, they come here. And also we have like different kinds of fruit that you don't have there because here is sunny and warm all year round. Like, so And I was listening to you on the podcast and you said about how you were like, does it get cold here and stuff? And talking now specifically about Rio, like it is going to get cold there. Like, and it really gets cold, especially, okay, Brazilian standards, of course, but it does get cold. Like, just for you to have an idea, like here, I never, like never wore a jumper, like a jumper, like never. It's like yesterday was cold here. When I checked, it was 22 degrees and I was freezing it at home. So that's how cold it gets. But it's going to get cold in Rio. And but I know you mentioned the safety in Rio. And that's something that all over Brazil, of course, but like in Rio specifically, like, yeah, it's an issue. Like, but would you say, like, for people who have never been here and people who have never considered, who have considered, like, I hear a lot of people when I go abroad, they say, oh my God, I really want to go to Brazil. I want to go to Rio. And Rio is our postcard. Like when we go abroad, like it's Rio, you know. I was also listening to you and you commenting, you know, about Rio and stuff. Like, it's exactly what you and Maggie said. Like, it's like I went up to see the Christ. And then, of course, it's not only the Christ. It's when you look at that view, you know, or when you just stop in Tijuca, I think, when you were cycling, I saw that, like, you have the Sugarloaf on your background. And you're like, this is insane. Like, I was shocked. I went to Europe first, just so you know, and then I went to Rio. Like, so I visited Europe first. When I got to Rio, I was like, oh my God, like this city is. So what would you say about Rio? Is it like you have the stereotypical view of the movie City of God, dangerous, blah, 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 favelas, and also the beautiful samba and people dancing happy? What is Rio really like?
For me, the thing that I love about Rio is the rolling hills, the Christ on the hill, the Sugarloaf Mountain. Like, these are iconic places that, like, you walk out your door and you can see Christ on the hill and you just think, wow. I almost swore there. You just think, wow, where am I? Or like, you kind of like pinch yourself and you think, actually, I'm in Rio de Janeiro. Like, this has been like, am I really here? This has been a dream of mine for ages. So like, that's what I think about when I think of Rio. And then another thing that I think about is, like, you know, meeting up with friends, like Morro da Urca. I think I butchered that pronunciation.
That's perfect. It's Morro da Urca.
Like watching the sunset there. I've been there a few times, or going to Aparador, which is like the rocks. I butchered the pronunciation again.
Aparador,
like the rocks at the end of Ipanema, and watching the sunset behind the Morro dos Irmãos mountain and the favela and Ipanema beach. It's just beautiful. So I think, like, for me, Rio is about getting out there, being on the beach, having a beer in your hand, and, you know, listening to like music and watching people play beach volleyball or auchinha, which is like the, you can't use your hands to kick the ball up and down. So it's kind of like that relaxed atmosphere, relaxed vibe, music, happy people. But watch yourself, because somebody might come up and, you know, take something from you or ask for your cell phone. But like, if that happens, it happens. It's never happened to me. And, you know, my experience living here, and, you know, I've spent more than 6 months in Brazil the whole time that I've been here, like in my various trips. And I've never, like, there's times where I felt like a little unsafe, and, you know, but you take actions to try and avoid that, like taking an Uber instead of, you know, walking or going by bus if you can afford it, right?
Yeah. I was going to ask that, like, how do you get around, like, taxis, Ubers, buses, bikes?
Well, I'm super lucky because I work at home, so I don't have any transport costs. And the supermarket is like literally, you know, 500 meters away. I just need to walk down the road. They've got Itaú bikes, which is the bank Itaú, and they've just put in a bike station kind of like around the corner from where I live. So I'm on a monthly plan, which is 29 reais, which is between $5 and $6, and I can ride those bikes. So I ride the bikes and I take Uber. I don't take any public transport, buses or anything like that, because I don't, like, why would I? I don't know where I would take them to. I mean, like, you know, I could probably take it to the beach or something like that. But like, for me, like, I'm big on personal safety, and I look like a gringo, and I feel like I would be targeted.
But which neighborhood are you in?
I'm in Bairro de Fátima, which is like next to, I was going to say Ao Lado de, next to Lafa, next to Santa Teresa. So like it's kind of in centro, like in the center. So it's kind of a bit dodge when you're like, yeah. My area where like the cul-de-sac that I'm in is fine. But once you walk down to like where the supermarket is, I'm like, oh, shit, where am I? Yeah. So it's a bit crazy down there. But
yeah. So yeah, are you near, what's the name of the place? How do you say it in English? Of course, I know it in Portuguese. Arcos da Lapa. Like, it's very...
The Arcs of Lapa?
Yeah, okay. And there's
I'm like a 10-minute walk from there.
Okay, so I know. Yeah. And of course, everyone knows Santa Teresa. Like, it's really... It's actually where Amy Winehouse stayed when she was in Brazil. There was a hotel in Santa... Yeah, she was there in a hotel. I was going to ask you about because you said like the Itaú bikes and stuff, but for instance, if you want to go to Ipanema Beach or Copacabana Beach, how do you go?
You can catch a metro if you want. I don't know where the closest metro is to my house, but I enjoy riding. So I would normally catch an Uber to like, one of the Santos Dumont Airport, cause they have bike stations there. And then I would ride to Sugarloaf, change bikes, and then get on a different bike, because you can only have like a certain amount of, you can have 35 minutes of free time, I think, or within your plan. And then you have to change bikes. And then I would go to Ipanema, and then I would like put my bike in there. So it takes about an hour to ride from like my house to Ipanema Beach. But it's really nice because like a lot of people ride. And I love people watching. It's like one of my favorite things to do. So I can't believe I haven't had an accident yet. Oh my God.
And are you like riding your bike with your camera and like just or not?
Yeah, sometimes I do that. But again, like I need to be careful about like, you know, who's around and like how many people are going to like, if I'm going to crash into somebody.
Yes, definitely. Yes. And would you... you mentioned that you live 500 meters from a supermarket. Is it a Pão de Açúcar?
No, it's not. It's a, I think it's an Extra.
Like, Extra,
Excuse me. Yeah. Extra, it's terrible. Like the fresh food is not fresh. It's really disappointing.
I don't like Extra as well. I like Carrefour, which is, of course, French. Mm. And Bom Preço, but I don't... Big Bom Preço. I don't know if you have it there. It's like... It used to be owned by Walmart. It's Brazilian, but then Walmart bought it, but then now I don't even know who owns it. But yeah, but it's also a big one. These are my two favorite. I really don't like Asian. I think they're expensive. But I want to ask you about like cost of living. So like groceries, You mentioned you don't pay much for transport, like you use your bike, it's 29 reais a month. What about other costs you have there in Rio?
Yeah, so I've just done like a month about of my cost of living. I'm going to make a YouTube video if anyone's curious about that. Eduardo will link it down in the description, or he'll link my YouTube channel. Anyway, so, when people ask me about the cost of living, I think it's so subjective because like it's based on how much you earn. If you earn more money, you have more disposable income. If you earn less money, then you don't have as much to spend. So, when you think about like, oh, what's the cost of living in Rio? It's totally like, I feel like it's kind of like a case by case basis, or you can group people together because like I made a video and they're like a couple of months ago and someone commented saying, oh, people make, you know, half that money and they can save a little bit as well. And I just said like, it's all subjective and it's all relative to what you earn. Anyway, I'm blabbering on a bit here. So I pay between 850 and 1,000 reais a month in rent. I'm in a 3-bedroom apartment and that includes rent, bills, internet and all that sort of stuff. It fluctuates depending on how much electricity and water we use. But like last month, I think I paid 970, which is good, I think.
Yes.
I'm on a healthcare plan and it's about 400 reais a month. Basically I can live on $650 a month. And that's like enjoying Uber Eats, like ordering two or three times a week. That's with the bike. That's with going to the gym. Like that's 120 reais. And that's with also eating like nice food from the supermarket. So I work hard and I can live with on 650 and save money in that way.
That's but really
I
good.
Also, yeah, I know it's really good. Right. I was watching this other guy's YouTube channel and he pays $1,000 for a 1-bedroom apartment in Leblon. And I was like, Leblon is the richest area in Rio. And I was like, dude, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Like, I can spend like 2/3 everything in a month, you know?
Yeah. But
again, it's all relative, right?
Yeah. I've been to Rio a couple of times. Leblon is like, you know, you step there and you're like, okay, maybe I should be wearing something different, like, you know, because. But the thing is, I think, Oli, that's because there are some, of course, like there are some agencies like that will just, you know, find apartments and stuff for like foreigners. So they're specializing foreigners. And then it's basically saying like, you know, relocation, come here and we'll sort it out for you. And it's like in dollars, $1,000.
Gringo
tax. Yes, exactly. It's like, I mean, you've got that everywhere basically. Like, but I think what you're paying is like excellent, to be very honest. Like
me too. Yeah. It's almost half of what my expenses were in Bolivia. Like in Bolivia, I was spending like about $300 on everything a month. So I kind of like have kind of halved that, but like it's just I think it's like $170 or $180 a month on rent and expenses, and it was 300 in Bolivia. So, and I'm living in a much better city in terms of like quality of life and, you know, standard of living as well, and like access to things outside of, you know, what you do on a daily basis. So yeah, I think I've got a pretty good deal.
I think I would just add that like if there were like no lockdown restrictions, you'd be spending a lot more because like not a lot more, but a bit more because the parties in Rio and the bars. And I mean, you know that, of course, you've been to Rio other times, the parties, the bars and everything. Like, it's just like, if you want to go out every single day, like there is a different party. There are different parties every single day. Right. Like, so with drinks and stuff, I think you'd be spending more, right?
Yeah. I think like if like things were back to normal, I think like maybe I could give myself, I was going to say an extra $150, but like maybe an extra $100 just a month. But again, like, you know, if I was going out more often, maybe I wouldn't eat Uber Eats as much. So I don't know, like maybe, you know, if I come back here next year and I'm on episode 100 of the podcast.
Yeah.
You can say, Ollie, what's cost of living like with Rio being open? And we can look back on it.
Sure. And just to compare, like I'm going to move out of this apartment next week and I'm going to go and live in a studio. And just so you have an idea, like, I'm going to pay 1,400 reais for the studio. There is, so it's like a small studio, kitchen, bedroom and stuff all together in a way. And there's a really nice pool upstairs. Yeah, like, but this is really common because here, as I said, like, because it's sunny and warm all year round, like this building also, we have a pool here. Like, so it's really common to have pools here. Just for you have an idea, like it's going to be 1,400 reais. How much would that be in dollars? Like,
oh God, now you're putting me on the spot.
Maybe 300.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's have a quick look.
Okay. Let's check. And yeah, so guys, just so you know, like Ali is in like the second most expensive city in Brazil, perhaps, you know, São Paulo and Rio are the most expensive cities. And then there is the rest.
Yours 1,400 is $250.
Yeah. So I think I should make a video on my channel showing the apartment.
Yeah.
Just for people to have an idea, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'd be interested in like living in the Northeast one day, because I think like the weather, the slower pace of life.
Here, it's like, yeah, it's super slow. Like, I really wish you could come here just to see it like before you left Brazil, because like literally, Ollie, like it's a 45-minute drive. I pay, just for you to have an idea, I paid on Uber 60 reais for me and my friend. And in 45 minutes, we were at the beach, like Paradise Beach. Like you just, you know, and the pousadas cost like 150 reais a night with a pool, with breakfast included. Like it's, I mean, I haven't been going as much because of the lockdown restrictions. But I went there like twice already since I got here. I love it. Yeah. The last question I want to ask you is about tips for foreigners who are thinking about visiting Rio or thinking about moving there. What would you say?
Yeah, my first tip comes from like a comment that I received on one of my videos. And the Brazilian said, thank you for like, it was my video when I went to Ouro Preto. And this person said, oh, thank you for coming here and respecting the culture and not acting like you own the place. Because I think especially when like Western gringos come, like Americans, Brits and Australians, we're quite loud and obnoxious. So I think like the first thing is to respect the culture and respect the fact that like, you know, some people speak English, but like not everyone speaks English here. And I think like there's an expectation with like English speaking gringos that like people just understand you. And I hate that. I really hate that. So respect the culture and respect the people. Obviously do all of the touristy things, like go to Pão de Açúcar, go to Cristo, spend a day on Ipanema Beach, like do all that sort of stuff, because I think that's great. Eat acai. Probably like don't walk around at night if you don't know the area. Take an Uber or take a taxi. I think that's really important. Like if you value your belongings and your safety, do that. And like if you're staying in a hostel or if you're staying in a hotel, try and like, I don't know, meet a local that can show you around. Like if you're in a bar, try and talk to somebody.
Good. That's great. It sucks that it's still locked down and there's still lockdown and everything. But yeah, I think making friends, like you have your friends there, right? But you cannot meet and go out and hang out at their place and they cannot go, I mean, as much as we want to, of course. Like, yeah, that would have been better. But could you talk about, just first to finish, like, what's your plan for, I mean, it's rude to ask about plans, right? Now, this year. So I'm not going to ask about your plans for 2021, 2022. But just in general, like, guys, I already mentioned so many times Ollie's YouTube channel, but like, I want to ask Ollie about your plans for the YouTube channel. Like, if people go there now, they're going to see a lot of videos about living in Bolivia. And recently, a lot of videos about living in Belo Horizonte, Paraty, in Rio de Janeiro, traveling around. So everything he mentioned here, like the Sugarloaf, Ipanema Beach, it's all there. But what are your plans for Oli Levido, the YouTube channel, in 2021 and maybe 2022 as well?
That's a great question. I've tried to make some more informative videos about like living abroad and stuff like that. But I also want to like get out on the town get out of the town, and film some more on the street, because I think people like street videos. So I guess like just continuing to like release a video a week showcasing like different aspects of life in Rio is kind of like my plan. Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm lost. I'm actually going back to Australia in July. So my most of my audience is either from the States, Brazil, or Bolivia. Like a big chunk of my audience are from there. So it'll be interesting to continue my YouTube channel in Australia and show people like Sydney, show them Canberra, show them like my life. So yeah, just trying to create a brand and a culture around me. And that's it. I don't know how to answer that question.
No, but that's
that's probably that's wrong with the problem with my YouTube channel.
No. Come on, like no one's traveling. I mean, most people, you know, like Brazilians cannot even go to Argentina. Like, so yeah. So don't worry. Like when it all opens up, I'm sure you're gonna be getting more views. I'm gonna be getting more views because, you know, China has been closed since February 2020. Like, and half of my videos are about China. So like,
that's true.
Yeah. So, okay, Ollie, thank you very much. And good luck with your channel. Good luck before, you know, moving to Australia, but good luck with life there in Rio. I'm really excited to see more videos of like you there in Rio. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
For videos about life in different countries, interviews with expats and travel guides, go to youtube.com/ReadyGoExpat.